You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
We have a real unique opportunity to do what we do here, whether it's over the weekends, our Saturday and Sunday services, or even on Wednesday nights as well. Just the opportunity that we have to come together as a body, as a community, if you will, and do what we just did, and that's just enter into God's presence and worship. And to be able to share in a very, very special environment, I think, that really gives all of us a sense of belonging, gives us a sense of purpose, and it's not necessarily something that can be accomplished outside of this setting. It's very, very special to be a part of this, and I hope everyone understands just the blessing it is to be part of this family. And when I say family, I'm not just referring to Palm Valley Church, the family of Palm Valley Church, but really what it means to be a part of God's family as well. And, you know, I think when I say that, there's probably some of you that are saying, you know what, if being a part of God's family is anything like the family that I have here on earth, my immediate family, then this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. I am all in. Let's go. It doesn't get any better than this. I also understand there's probably some that are here that would say, you know what? I hope this thing about being part of God's family is everything it's cracked up to be and everything that people say it is. Because my experience here on earth with my immediate family hasn't been that great. To both of those scenarios, I would say yes. Being a part of God's family is bigger and better than any experience you could possibly have, good or bad, with that family setting here on earth. Mixed range of emotions that we experience with that. So tonight I just want to take a few minutes and share what does it mean to be a community of believers, like we are here at Palm Valley Church, members of a very, very special family. It's God's family. Paul actually describes God's creation of this special community in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, where he said, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. The purpose here for the Ephesians in Paul's writing was really for them to have an increased awareness of God's love. An increased awareness of God's love so that they could imitate that love, share it with others, be a light to others, and hopefully a drawing power so that others could join in and experience the same thing. I think sometimes we get a little bit off track and we think that church or our church experience is a box that we check off. It's an event that we attend. It's maybe a club or an organization. I can tell you tonight, it's none of those. Church is not meant to be just something that you attend. It's not something that's contained within the four walls of a building. Church in its truest sense, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a family. Amen. It's an experience that we share with each other. It's a spiritual family. And really the neat thing about this is that God did not need to do what he did. God did not need to create you and I. He did not need to create this family. But he wanted to. He desired to. What we just read, it said what? That it brought him great pleasure. It put a smile on God's face when he brought you and I into existence. And he put us together in a community where we can belong to him and interact with him first and foremost, but then where we can belong to and interact with each other. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right, or he gave the privilege, to become children of God. So regardless of our experience, family is something that we can identify with. It's something that we understand. It's something that we can relate to. And I think that's why the words that were used here by God stand out so much. You know, I was talking with a friend recently who was adopted. And this is what he said. He said, you know what? I was taken out of a situation that would not have turned out too well, and I was given a new opportunity. I was given an opportunity to experience a better and different kind of love, a chance to be part of a new family. God gives you and I, when we come to Him and we have this terminology, this wording of adoption, when we read that, when we hear that, what's happening is God is giving us a new identity, a new name, new opportunities, new hope, new future. God gives us all of those things. Sometimes we read this, we hear this, maybe if you've been adopted or maybe you're a parent who has adopted someone, you can say, yes, I understand this wholly and completely, and it's a wonderful thing. Others would say, you know what? Because my experience here has not been the greatest on earth with my earthly family, I can really have a fresh appreciation for the opportunity to be adopted by God Himself, the opportunity to belong to Him, the opportunity to be proud of something that I can't necessarily be proud of here on earth. It's something that's brand new. It's something that is different. The good news tonight is that God's kingdom is different than the kingdom here on earth. God's way of doing things is different than the way we do things here on earth. So a few points on what it means to be part of God's family, what it means to be a community, as we would call it, what it means to be a community of Christ followers. First and foremost, we are a community of sharing. We share together. All love, if you think about it, especially God's love, starts, it has its root in what? In sharing. What is it that God did? For God so loved the world that He did what? He shared His Son, Jesus Christ, with us. If you think about it, those of you that have a significant other sitting next to you tonight, think about how that whole relationship started. There was time that was spent together. There was probably some conversations. There was a lot of sharing of meals together and time together and going different places together. And I see smiles on people's faces. These smiles are being just lit up everywhere as people kind of recall those special days. And then before you know it, you blink your eyes a couple of times. You go, oh, wait, how did that happen? You shared a lot of experiences together. And we know that the more experiences we share together, that love is certainly to grow and to develop and to become what it is that God wants it to be. Acts chapter 2 says that the believers, the New Testament, met together constantly and that they shared everything. They had everything in common. It takes time, it takes intentionality to develop this type of deep relationship. Hebrews remind us, don't give up the habit of meeting together. Do habits develop by accident? No, it's got to be very intentional. We have to be very intentional and purposeful and focused in order to develop a habit. So God is encouraging us here, and we as a community, we say, okay, we are going to share together, and that takes time. It takes intentionality. We know that when we do this, there's different things. We share in our experiences. We share our support with each other. 1 Corinthians reminds us this in a what would be called kind of a proper order of worship and what's to take place within a setting when the community of believers come together. He lays it all out, puts it all in order, and then ends it by simply saying that we learn from each other. There's instruction and there's encouragement when we share our experiences and we share our support. I think back to my own childhood. My childhood was not exactly the most stellar. It wasn't exactly something that you would want to, quote unquote, write home about. It was very troubled. My parents split up. They divorced whenever I was 10 years old. And I moved to live with my dad. And really the year or the couple of years that followed that was very tumultuous. It was very challenging. There was a lot that happened. Just the separation, I was entering middle school, and those years are difficult enough to deal with if everything's good, much less you pile on a bunch of stuff on top of it. And the environment that I was taken to was just a very abusive environment for about a year or 2 years. Left me with a lot of scar tissue, if you will. Left me with a really troubled middle school and high school career, but There's two things that stand out as far as the healing process that took place to get me through that. Number one was the connection that I had with my youth group, and I can specifically remember a retreat. There was almost like a camp, I guess you could say, a weekend retreat that our youth group took, and it was through the course of that weekend that I started to gain some healing through what had happened. Later on, when I was 21, I went down to Paraguay, South America, and I did a one-year missions assignment down there. And really, the missionary that I worked with and one other guy that was on our team, the connection there provided yet another level, another stage of healing that was part of the process of taking me out of everything that had happened. Yes, something that happened when I was 10, I was still dealing with when I was 21. Both of those were in the context of being able to share our experiences with other people who were part of God's kingdom. It wasn't something that my immediate family was able to necessarily help out with or solve. The solution, the healing that God used came from other members of God's family, other believers. Romans chapter 12 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." The beauty of this is that when we share our experiences, both the highs and the lows, if we rejoice with others who are rejoicing, with who are happy and who are having a great experience, what happens? We double the joy. It's contagious. You ever been around somebody where something good has just happened and they're jumping down and all excited and you start jumping up and down and you're excited and you don't know why, just because they are? It's just a great thing. But it also says to share in each other's sorrows. When we share in the joy, it's doubled. When we share in another's sorrow or pain, it's cut in half, and it makes it easier to deal with. There's a lot of ways that this can happen. There's one-on-one encounters. There's small groups. Maybe it's a cup of coffee in the morning. Maybe it's lunch with somebody or dinner. I think of just what's going to be happening here as far as just the sharing of experiences. This coming weekend is going to be baptism weekend, and we've got a handful of people that both on Saturday night and Sunday are going to get baptized. What does that mean? That means they are going to share their experience with this community, with this body of believers, about how they come to know Christ and the difference that that's made in their life. And there's not a baptism service that goes by. It's very, very special because there's not a service that goes by that people do not walk out encouraged, that people do not walk out with maybe a little extra spring in their step, or maybe they walk out and they have a new understanding of who Christ is. And not just what he's done for someone else, but what he can do for them. Other people are encouraged and built up when we share our experiences with each other. You know, as part of that service, it's real special. We haven't done this yet, but a number of the people Saturday night that are going to get baptized are from Iglesia Palm Valley. They're from our new Spanish church. And so not only, it's going to be great. So not only are they going to get baptized, but Iglesia Palm Valley is actually going to come over from the chapel over here into this auditorium, and we are going to share in this experience together. They're going to come over. There's going to be some worship. There's going to be worship in English. There's going to be worship in Espanol. There's going to be baptisms, and it's something that we are going to get to do together. I think that's so neat, so special, even for people from Edinburgh who have gotten baptized recently. We do that on a Saturday night. And then we're able to show those videos over in Edinburgh on a Sunday morning. We are now a church of three campuses, if you think about it. We've got our church service here that takes place Saturdays and Sundays, Palm Valley Church Mission. We have Palm Valley Church Edinburgh. We have Iglesia Palm Valley. We are three churches in different locations, but with one common thread, and that is God's love and the community that we are. Something else that's taking place as far as sharing. I just think it's really neat. We've heard these reports recently of just how the men's breakfast that takes place on a Saturday morning, the first Saturday of each month, over 100 men have been getting together over at the West End, and they eat. It's what guys do when they get together. They eat. And there's devotional, but there's just a time where guys get together. And there's community. What does that mean? It's a sharing of experiences. It's supporting each other. It's getting to know each other. And out of that has now started a series of groups that are now meeting randomly throughout the week. In between those, where guys get together for breakfast or lunch or something else. Pastor Ty has done just an amazing job of overseeing and facilitating all of this, but we've got 12 or 13 groups, men, who are getting together throughout the week at different times and sharing their experiences with each other. And what is the result of that? The body, the community, the family is built up and is encouraged. So we share together. Number two, we're also a community of belonging. You ever remember what it was like, it happened more in elementary school, but do you remember whenever there was those either dodgeball or kickball games out on the playground and they would split everybody up into two groups and they would start picking? Hated that. I was the last one on more occasions than what I wish to admit. Sometimes, you know, you get down to the second to the last, or the last one, you're going, wait, please pick me. If you ended up being the last one, the sad part is they didn't even call your name. They just turned their backs and walked away, and you just kind of followed along because you were on that team by default. You didn't even get your name called. It's terrible. What makes that so significant? Built into us is this sense of wanting to belong, wanting to be a part of something. God says in His Word that whenever we come to Him and we have that relationship with Him, we become part of His family and we now belong. We now belong to something new, something different, something bigger and something better than we could possibly imagine. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you belong in God's household with every other Christian. John, and later on in Scripture, if you love God, you must love other believers. Love your spiritual family. There's a quote that I came across here recently. It said this. It says, the family of God, that's you and I, by the way, is a living organism where every part belongs and finds its health in right relationship with every other part. That means with each other. You belong. Turn to the person sitting next to you, right or left. Just look at them right now and just say, you belong here. You are at your best when you are in right relationship with other members of God's family. This requires community, interaction, time, sharing, and above all else, authenticity. How do we do this? Maybe when we get together, we just simply ask someone to tell us their story. How do they get to where they are? And it's not something that we ask and then we kind of tune out or we check on what's going on the latest news feed. But I challenge you to listen intently. And if you do that, I think what's going to happen is you're going to hear something and you're going to learn something new about this other person. You're going to learn something new about God. You might even learn something new and different about yourself as well. Something else that I think we can do that gives us just a greater sense of belonging is including others in family gatherings. There's different times of the years where we just get together with family members. I would challenge some of you. Some of you already do this, but I can tell you there's been a handful of times that we've done this and we've invited friends to a gathering or to a time where maybe just before it was just our immediate family. And there's just something very special about that. Again, what does it do? It just builds and it increases this idea of belonging. We're part of a community that shares, we're part of a community that belongs, but we're part of a community that also serves together. Serving will always, always, always deepen your love with others. You want to deepen your love in any relationship? Serve together. Adelia and I, my wife, she's sitting back over there somewhere. We'd been dating for a short period of time, and we went on a missions trip together. Not on purpose, by the way. It's not like we were on the missions trip because we were. Anyway, we ended up on this missions trip together. And we had just started seeing, we're kind of interested in each other. And I noticed that at the end of that trip, just the fact that we were able to serve others together and we were able to see each other in that light, I had feelings that started to stir on the inside of me that were not there at the beginning of this trip. It was there afterward. Why? Because we did something with a common goal, a common purpose that was bigger than us, that brought us together, and it really created and deepened a love. Now, please, there's a caveat to this. Is the recording on? Please double check the recording. I am not saying go on a missions trip so that you can fall in love. That is not what I am saying. Mark the record very clear, please. That is not what Brandon said this evening. But we serve together for a common purpose. We can't get that anywhere else. But when we do that, as it says, partners working together, they do more. We get more done. Two are better than one. And serving together, again, is just a catalyst for our spiritual growth, our relationship with Christ. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body is fitted perfectly. It helps other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and full of love. Finally, we're a community that suffers together. If love grows deep when we serve, love grows deepest when we enter into the pain and the suffering of someone around us. Specifically, when we enter into the pain of suffering, maybe of a fellow brother or sister in Christ, part of someone who is part of God's family. I think of our support groups here at Palm Valley Church. We have a number of them where people, leaders, and then those who attend take the time to enter into the pain and to live and to share and to support each other during a difficult time. It may be as the result of a loss of a loved one, our grief support group. It may be as participants in the cancer support group that was started just a couple of years ago. Maybe in those that are suffering from addiction to alcohol, or a group of ladies that get together every other week and share in their experiences of miscarriage or infertility. It's not always easy. It's painful. I can almost guarantee you there's going to be tears at time. But really, there is no other way to develop these type of relationships and really to discover what it means to be part of this family than to enter into each other's suffering. I think back, it's been almost 4 years now. It was really a big transition time for me and my family. I had just started working here at Palm Valley Church, was very, very new, had come out of a teaching career of 12 years. And 1 week into the new job, some of you would remember, 1 week into the new job, I was diagnosed with stage 2 melanoma, cancer. Completely sideswiped me, did not expect that, completely caught me off guard, by surprise. Really planted inside of me just a lot of doubt and fear. There was a lot of uncertainty. I'm starting a new job. I had contributed absolutely nothing, but yet here I was already taking away from the church. That's the way I felt. I'll never forget the week, the couple of days. It was a Friday that I got the diagnosis. That following Monday, walking into Pastor Rick's office, very nervous, scared, again, uncertain of what the response was going to be. I didn't know what to expect. Sat down, and I didn't know how else to say it. I just said, Rick, I've got cancer. I'll never forget his response. Without missing a beat, there was no pause, there was no hesitation. He looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, Brandon, glad you're going through this here with us. I know you have friends from your previous job, and I know it was a great place. He said, but I want you to know we'll come around you and we'll support you. We're family. It was a couple weeks after that, there was a prayer meeting that we had as a staff, and I'll never forget one of the other staff members putting his hand on my shoulder. It wasn't a loud prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. It's probably one of the most simplest prayers that I've ever heard. He just simply said, God, give us strength. Give us the strength to get through. I was like, wow. Is this what it's like? Is this what it's like to be part of family? To be part of God's family? I hope that we get a fresh perspective tonight. Relationships, it's so important, so key. So many times we just find ourselves busy and wrapped up in everything that's going on, and we just don't take the time. If If you were to just take a moment and pause and reflect and just look, do I have any close relationships with other members of God's family? If the answer to that question is no, maybe some things need to be readjusted, and you just need to take the time to invest, the time that it takes to develop those relationships. Life is all about learning how to love God and how to love each other. We're going to get the opportunity to do that here in just a few moments. I'm going to wrap it up with this verse. It says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment to love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other."
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.